8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus said to the Judeans who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, if you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord, the good news. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from the one true God who claims, who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning and always. Amen. Well, here we are. October is nearly at its end. We've busted out our finest red paraments. The hymn of the day is "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." I've even got my bright Reformation red Holy Spirit sneakers on. And my best red cup. So you know it can only mean one thing, right? It's Reformation Sunday, the day where we commemorate that momentous last day of October in the year 1517, when Martin Luther shared 95 of his most pertinent concerns about the actions of his church. The day where we remember and give thanks for that moment and the many, many words and actions that followed, setting forth a renewed understanding of God's way of working in the world and in our hearts. That moment that spawned a movement that to this day brings us to this place, the Lutheran Church. Martin Luther, spurred on by the teachings of Jesus, by the theology of St. Augustine, by the letters of St. Paul, disheartened by the direction of his church and caught in the grips of his own dark night of the soul, Martin Luther sought way back then to remind God's people of the amazing way God seeks to set us free from, well, ourselves, by offering the gift of God's grace in the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. It's a magnificent moment to remember. It's a wonderful day to celebrate. It is a great opportunity, this Reformation Sunday, to rekindle the flames of revolution in our hearts as we seek, yes, even here at CTK, to reform our lives together as this grace-filled gathering of God's beloved children. Reformation Sunday. This is the day when we celebrate that moment, that spark that started something new, that shook the foundations of the church and set the whole world in a new direction. It has been said that this moment that we celebrate, the posting of the 95 Theses, was not an attempt originally by Luther to reform the church or to start any sort of epic public battle, but with the powers that be. It was simply an academic exercise, a start to a collegial conversation about the theological ideas and practices of the church of his day. And yet, clearly something opened inside of him and set sparks in the hearts of many people all around Europe. Within a few years, Luther would write some of his most lasting works, including his essay on the freedom of the Christian. In that essay, written just 3 years after the 95 Theses, in 1520, Luther penned these words: "The Christian individual is a completely free lord of all, subject to none." The Christian individual is a completely dutiful servant of all, subject to all. These contradictory phrases, lord of all, subject to none, yet dutiful servant of all, subject to all. These important and impactful words set forth the idea that we as followers of Christ are set free by the grace of God so that we might be true servants of the neighbor. That the freedom given in Christ does not come at our own service, but instead sets us free to be of service. These powerful words, which echo the very words of Jesus in our gospel text this morning, "Then Jesus said to the Judeans who had believed in him, 'If you continue or abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.'" We, each and every one of us, are freed from the finality of death, freed from our bondage to sin, freed from the obligation to the law in order that we may be made righteous, freed from any claim put on us that we must earn God's love. We are freed by the truth of God's love in Christ Jesus, so that we may go out and live our lives as reflections of God's goodness in service to the neighbor. Isn't it an amazing thing to be free and alive this morning? Can I get an amen to that? Happy Reformation Sunday. But here's the thing. I don't want to talk about the Reformation today. I don't want to talk about Martin Luther and the 95 Theses and the freedom of the Christian and the small and large catechisms and the small called articles, which I'm sure our speaker this morning, Bill Russell, will gladly talk our ears off in the social hall later today. I want to talk to you about something else this morning, folks. I want to talk to you about Halloween. Yes, Halloween. Who remembers bringing your kids out to trick-or-treat for Halloween? Who remembers going out and trick-or-treating when you were a kid? What was your favorite costume? Shout it out to me. Somebody give me a favorite costume. What? Gypsy. Oh, that's interesting. What else? A hobo. Okay. Anyone else? Frankenstein. Nice. Anybody else? A scarecrow, Casper the Friendly Ghost. These are good. These are very, very good. One of my best costumes was I dressed up as an old man for Halloween. And it happened to be that Halloween, you know, that Halloween when we had 3 feet of snow. Right? Well, that was good because I had lots of layers to put on. So I looked even a little more old walking around. When Emily and I, and along with my parents, became proud co-owners of a 115-year-old duplex in St. Paul, we were told when we first moved into the neighborhood, we had neighbors say to us, we really kind of get into Halloween around here. And we thought, Okay, whatever that means, but sure, we'll go along with that. And as we got closer and closer to the end of October, we started to see what they meant. Decorations went crazy. Huge inflatables as tall as houses. Skeletons that tower over the street. One of my neighbors even put a jack-o'-lantern on top of a ladder behind his fence, soaked a roll of toilet paper in kerosene, put it in the pumpkin, and lit it on fire. We thought, whoa, they really do get into Halloween around here. Yikes! But believe me when I tell you, that was only the start. You see, the neighborhood we live in St. Paul is what you might call a destination neighborhood for trick-or-treaters. I don't know if it's the proximity we have to Summit Avenue and all the big mansions there. I don't know if it's because it is maybe safer in some ways, certainly our street that sort of dead ends at one side. I don't know the reason. Maybe it's because of the decorations and the way the people celebrate. But what I do know is that every single Halloween, we have 500 trick-or-treaters. I'm not kidding you. 500 trick-or-treaters from all over the city, walking our streets, going from house to house to house, saying trick or treat, holding out a bucket, a bag, a pillowcase, their backpack, whatever they've got. Emily and I have frequently run in the house to grab plastic bags to give to kids who were just trying to shove as much candy in their pockets as they possibly could. Our neighbors, as they said, really do get into Halloween in our neighborhood. And let me tell you, there isn't a happier night on our street than October 31st. Retired United Methodist preacher, pastor, poet, and musician Steve Garness Holmes wrote a poem, wrote several poems about Halloween, and this one is my favorite. I want to share it with you. Halloween. A day when we get it right. Strangers come to us, beautiful, ugly, odd, or scary, and we accept them all without question, compliment them, treat them kindly, and give them good things. Halloween, a night in which we get it right. A night in which we realize that resurrection promise, that reformation promise, and live it out. Oh, there are some on Halloween, I'm sure. I have even been that one myself that say, well, that's not much of a costume. Aren't you too old to be trick-or-treating? Couldn't you have put a little more effort into it? You didn't say trick or treat. Right? I have grabbed that posture from time to time. I won't ask you to raise your hand if you're one of those people too. But my guess is we've all had those moments. Those moments where we would seek to withhold our candy for only those who proved their worth and merit. And yet, Halloween is a night when we get it right. Not every child of those 500 kids that come to our door every Halloween are dressed in a full costume. Not every child that comes to our door on that Halloween are a child, right? They are, though, out for the festivities, out for the fun, out to express themselves and to seek the gifts of others, handed out freely and with joy. Halloween is Reformation Day. Reformation Day is Halloween, a day when we get it right. It can be very easy, yes, for us to get caught up in those things which we feel are so important, things that we determine to be necessary. But when we do that, often when we center all of our understanding of ourselves and our holidays, our own worth and the worth of others, even our very understanding of the nature and character of God, we risk prioritizing our way instead of the one we follow, Jesus. So this week, let us wear our Reformation red proudly. And let us don our black and orange with great joy. Let us strive to get it right this time, remembering that God loves us all, each and everyone, not because we are good, no, but because God is good. And let us look upon ourselves and our neighbors, warts and all, costume or no costume, and see one another as God first saw us, with abundant and steadfast love. Happy Reformation Day, and happy Halloween. Amen. Oh, I better stand up.